CHACL Toronto.
Hello, hello. Saturday morning on the Golf Show. Brent Gunning and Sam McKee, the golf guys, here with you. Very happy to do so. Always on a Saturday morning. Love it. Birds are chirping. I don't know about you, McKee. I won't cut your grass on the weather report, but I stepped outside and there's some weather out there. Sammy McKee, how you doing on this wonderful Saturday?
Doing spectacular, Gunner. Yeah. I will start right away with the weather report. Took Lou Dog for a quick spin before the show started today. Get his steps in, you know. God, it is hot. It is hot, hot, hot out there. It is a capital S scorcher. I think it's getting up to, like, yeah, we're feeling like 42 at points today. Ooh. So, if you're playing golf today, which it always comes back to because this is the golf show. If you're playing golf today, like I've always talked about, you need a bunch of things. First of all, you need some sunscreen. You got to slather on that sunscreen. You're not, hey, you think you're tougher than the sun? You're not. Slap on that sunscreen, wear a big hat, maybe even, you know, wear some performance sleeves if you're afraid of the sun. Secondly, need a big old tub of water.
Let me jump in there. Is there anything that you will never be seen on a golf course more than extra sleeves? You don't even want to wear the ones you've got, and you're out here recommending extra sleeves to people.
I don't even have sleeves on right now.
I know.
So you need that. So you need some water, a lot of water. Take more water than you think you need. Another recommendation, maybe some Gold Bond, maybe a little baby powder, you know, for my heavier set fellows that may be heading out to the course. Bad day for the thighs. Let's just say that. Bad day for the thighs. Bring some Gold Bond. And lastly, make sure the person on the cart is near. And do not let her or him go by without a beer. So, there you go. You can't go by. It's too hot. You have to have a beer or two out there. Along with water, of course. Long, be responsible. But you can't play on a day like today and not have some beer. And also, don't be a hero. If you're a guy like me, you just want, it's hot, you love to walk, don't be a hero. Just take a cart. Pay the $20, take a cart. So, there you go. Here's my advice on a day like today.
Those are excellent recommendations. You know, I know sometimes some clubs you'll go to and they'll give you the cooler for the bevies. Sometimes we all have sometimes some extra golf towels in our bag. Just slap one of those in there, a little cold towel on the back of the neck when it really gets going. So there you go. Look at this. Weather tips from the golf guys here. We're coming for you, Weather Network. You and I do have budding career as a meteorologist, I think.
I would never, ever come for the Weather Network. I love the Weather Network. Honestly, on my apps, on my phone that I use, it is very high. Like, I'm always, as you know, always checking the radar, the DAR, as I like to call it. You know, you just keep an eye on that thing, have a system rolling through. It kind of gives you that comprehensive look. What a great app. The Weather Network app is just a 10 out of 10. So I hope they're listening. Whoever designed that app, I hope they're listening.
Good job. Good job by you. Good job by them. And hey, even when you're wrong, it's great because then we get to complain about it and do the whole Curb Your Enthusiasm thing where we think the weatherman's just lying to us to get all the tee times for himself. A lot to get into in this first block. Very excited for the guest that's going to join us today. McKee, you dug into your Rolodex. You know, usually we love talking to all our friends, you know, our Adam Stanleys of the world poking around. Great to check in with them. But you went a little outside the box on this one. I'm happy you did. Christine Fraser, golf course architect, is going to join us. She just got the commission for the master plan of the Toronto Hunt Club. I know you've been out there recently, so I'm sure your take would be, how can it get better? But obviously she has some ideas.
It's perfect. Yeah. Don't touch it, Christine.
she has some ideas on that. And here's the thing. From a couple of guys, and we're going to talk about a course we played this week in just a minute here. For a couple of guys who offer such astute observations as really cool holes, nice layout, it's all in front of you. Christine will be able to dig just a touch deeper there. So that's big news in the golf community, the Canadian golf community, and I'm really excited to get Christine's thoughts. And you highlighted it to me. I did not realize some of the properties she has worked on. So I'm really, really excited to talk to Christine in about 20 minutes' time.
100%. Like, if you want to check out her website, she's got a very cool website, ChristineFraser.com, with all the different courses she's worked on. I mean, there's Toronto... The Toronto Golf Club's involved there. Royal Birkdale's involved there. She's an incredibly accomplished golf course architect, and I can't wait to get her perspective on a few things. And let me tell you, if you're into golf course architecture and that sort of thing, I can only imagine when she pulled down the lane at Toronto Hunt Club and had a look at that place. It's got to be an incredibly exciting place to sink your teeth into as a golf. Like, the bones are there. Listen, it's an amazing course regardless. But, like, I'm sure there's a few things you could, you know, tweak, and we'll get into it with her. But, like, it just, it looks like such an incredible canvas if you're, like, you know, to look at if you're thinking about designing courses. It's an amazing spot. So, interested to get her perspective.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. Again, we'll do that in the second block of the show just after 9:30. As always, want to know where... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say, I got a couple things for the text line, so we're thinking
already?
The exact
wow.
same. Yeah. So the two things I have... No, I have a couple things for the text line for people to text in to me. The thing we're going to debate coming up here in a little bit is about the music on the golf course thing. And, you know, I recently purchased a speaker. At Deals in Owen Sound, Ontario, the best store on planet Earth. That's a free shout out to my favorite store on Earth, Deals. Anyone from Owen Sound listening, just they almost drove off the road. They're so excited that I mentioned that.
I'm going to have to check it out when I come up for the wedding. I've
yes,
heard about it.
You are.
It's a definite tourist attraction.
It is too good. It is just too good. It's the best store on Earth. I bought a speaker, and I've fully gone into music guy. I love music on the golf course, so text me in with your thoughts on music on the golf course, please, and also text us, of course. As always, where you're teeing it on this day today. You're probably getting out there early. You know, beat this heat. So text us where you're teeing it and if you like music on the golf course. There you go.
We did get a great text from our boy Pierre already. He heard us giving out advice to beat the heat. Advice from working landscaping in the heat. Make sure you wear tight athletic underwear. And as you mentioned, lots of baby powder. So he is right on the right on the same track as you are, buddy.
Not to get too graphic, but you gotta.
I think we're about to.
Everything just gotta be tight. Gotta keep it tight down there. You know, just keep it tight. Anyone listening knows. Just keep it tight.
We're the OG villain from Breaking Bad in that first season. Like tight. That's what it needs to be.
With Tuco.
Tuco, yes, that's right. That's right. That's who we all are. Wow. Didn't think I had that pull. I didn't think we were going Breaking Bad references at 9:10 on the golf show, but here we are. So, yeah, text line's wide open, 590-590. Your thoughts on music? Are you cantankerous and you want to tell Sam McKee to get off your lawn and tear down his music, or you love the life of the party? Let us know where your thoughts are. And as always, if you're getting out there playing, wherever you are playing, we want to know where and how is it going. We got out to play a track a little outside, more outside of my neck of the woods than yours, but it was definitely a trek worth making. I will say it was a little jarring. We went out to Black Bear Ridge in Belleville. It was a little jarring when we were talking to not our boys in the pro shop, but our boy, the starter, whose name I am forgetting. He had a great sun hat. Ray. It was a little jarring when he started ripping off the rankings in Eastern Ontario. I was like, oh, I've now made it into Eastern Ontario. Okay, that was a touch jarring for me. I had an absolute blast at Black Bear Ridge. It was an incredible track, a great test, a stiffer test than I'm used to facing, if we're being perfectly honest there. I can only imagine that place was in pristine condition. I can only imagine what it looks like in the fall when the colors are showing off. They have some incredible risk rewards. I mean, we'll walk through some of our favorite holes in the experience here, but if you're anywhere around the city, especially if you're on the East End or in the heart of Toronto, not a bad trek at all. You made it from your area, the West End of the city, McKee, and I would definitely tell somebody if you've been looking at Black Bear Ridge, if you've been thinking about it, worth the drive to do it. And they've got some exciting stuff going on there, which we'll talk about in a second. But in terms of the golf course itself, what was your big takeaway?
Well, I would say that first of all, the top 100 thing is an incredibly for us, it means a lot. And like, I know there's a ton of people that listen to the show that it means a lot to as well, in terms of crossing off the Score Golf top 100. You know, I couldn't wait to get home and add it to my list. Like, it's such an incredible feeling to be able to add another one to the list. So anytime they're within the vicinity of where I live, I'm very willing to travel to it. And God, courses must love getting on that list, because there's just so many dumbbells like you and me out there that have to do that. So, I will say, you know, it's a trek from Toronto. Like, it's a solid 2 hours. You're just not getting it. If you're living in Toronto, it's not going to be any less than 2 hours. But like you said, it's very worth the trip. It's very hard. I will say it's a very hard course. I love the test. Like, it's, you know, it's not exactly Burlington Springs. Like, it's a tough track out there. There's a lot of really demanding shots, tee shots, you know, second shots. It's very cool. The second hole we played, was it 11 that we played? Because we started on the back. That par 5, that was like a horseshoe around a marsh. We won't talk about what you, how you finished that hole. My old man, actually, Andy, actually parred it. So good on him.
Amazing.
But I did not par it. Neither did you. It's just, there's a lot of really unique different types of holes. And I will say that it gives you sort of the wooded feel. There's a couple linksy type holes. It's just a very cool spot that's very accessible to the GTA if you want to make the trek. They showed us around a couple of our boy out there. He showed us around all the sort of like the stay and play stuff they have. They got a big old mansion there that would look unbelievable for a bachelor party or a girls' weekend or whatever. A couple, you want to go up with a few couples or do whatever you want. And to me, the thing that got me all hot and bothered in the backyard of the of the one mansion, they had a little disc golf chain. So apparently they're planning a disc golf course there next year. They got a bocce golf course thing going in. It's just a very inclusive spot that, you know, if you're not the most, like, not a hardcore golfer, you can still go there and have a good time. So I was just really impressed with the facility in general. And here's what I'll say. Like, I'm just really happy that these kind of things are popping up, right? Like, you know, you think of Cabot, obviously, as like the gold standard for the stay and play sort of thing in Canada, which is, you know, spectacular, but it's far and extremely expensive. Like, it's a 2-hour flight, a 4.5-hour drive. It's exclusive. It's hard to get in there. If the more of these things you can kind of have popping up, like we always talk about TPC popping up, we have this one, Black Bear, like these are, you know, within 2 hours of the GTA where you can go and you can feel like you're away and enjoy yourself, play a couple rounds. Like, I just love how many of these places are popping up, and Black Bear Ridge is absolutely no exception to that.
Yeah, the 11th hole there, it is a complete horseshoe around a massive marsh, and I made a march into the marsh a couple of times on that hole. The other hole I want to highlight there is the big time risk reward hole, and that is 8, I believe, on the front. And so what this is it is basically, it's really cool. Sickle. Because you get to hit, if you can rip drive and you can rip it straight, you get to hit the Bryson shot from the Arnold Palmer. You get to hit the big drive over water to the green. You got yourself an eagle putt on a par 4. But if you don't want to do that, you could do what I did. You could just buck your 180 club to the 150 mark and then not hit a good wedge and then make a couple of putts and you walk away with bogey. But it's just an awesome, like, we have a lot of these, oh, it's a drivable par 4 or it's a risk reward and the risk is not as prevalent or the reward is not as great. That is as good a risk reward hole as I can remember playing in the last little while. Just a really, really fun experience. And then I do want to quickly sneak this in about this hole. A CPGA professional messaged me to ask me how I played that hole, and he told me that they have a fall scratch scramble up there at Black Bear Ridge.
Sounds like something I should be involved in.
I would say not. I don't think Scratch is in the, what was it, Flight C at the Lacombe Men's Open? I don't think
hey,
so.
Third flight, okay? Third flight. Sounds better than Flight C.
It does. No, that's 100% true. Third does sound way better than Flight C. I don't think they're playing in that. I can only imagine the darts those guys be dropping. It was an incredible course. And here's the thing. They have a lot of different tee boxes you could play from, a lot of courses. And look, here's the thing. Like, most courses don't need more than this. They'll have their blues, they'll have their whites, they'll have their reds, some mix in a black. They I believe had 6 or 7 different tee box configurations. The tippy tips at that place, I don't want to know who's playing that other than those guys that scratch scramble.
Like, I think it's over $7,000. I think it's maybe 7,056 yards.
Yeah, and there's a lot of elevated tee shots up there as well. And the one thing I will say is, again, you got to bring your game to play this place. I'd say the most challenging thing for me potentially about it was the elevated greens. There was no running your ball up to a lot of the greens there. You got to hit a dart. And look, that's a great design concept. But I didn't have it in me that day. So the course definitely won. But you'd be a winner if you got out there to Black Bear Ridge. So, yeah, just big shouts to our boys, Bill and Callie, who had us out there. If you're out in Belleville or you're looking to cross another top 100 off, you absolutely should get out there because it was a great experience. And like we said, I want to touch on the stay and play thing as well. awesome we're getting more of these to pop up. We all talk about wanting to do buddies trips, but like you said, it's a lot to go to. You want to go to Cabot or Bandon Dunes or Sweetens Cove. Like, these are all big, long, expensive trips, and being able to do it somewhat in your own backyard, I love that these things are popping up. TPC as well, but of course, folks at Black Bear Ridge. It's a little more, seems like it's a little more bespoke, artisanal there.
Yes.
And I they have very, very, we're going to have a Christine Frazier on with some design. The design in those mansions was something else. So yeah, very, very cool. Black Bear Ridge, check it out. Top 100. We both loved peppering in another one on our list there.
Yeah, I'm up to 21 now. I've played 21% of the top 100 courses in Canada. So we just got a text on the text line from our boy Chris in Toronto. Playing Red Crest with the boys. Barley Sammy's and Bob Marley's. Let's go. I wonder what he means.
I don't know. I
would
don't
never
know at all.
Know anything about something like that. Enjoy
let
yourself.
It,
here's the thing. Stay high. If
way.
You're enjoying... Oh, go ahead.
They wouldn't want him at Shaunakee. That's all I'll say.
I will say this. If you're enjoying some Bob Marley's, make sure you bring lots of water.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's too hot. It's too hot.
Maybe some snacks, too. All right. Yeah. That's enough there. Music on... Hey, what a transition. Bob Marley's a musician. Music on the golf course. You upset the community. Here's the thing I'd have to say.
I took a beating, Gunner.
I feel like you want the smoke, though. You're Mr. I don't want the smoke. You want the fight about the music. You want everyone to cow down to you, and you should be the arbiter of what is music. I feel like any pushback you are unaccepting of.
Well, listen, I'm not. No, I disagree with that statement completely.
Okay, fair, please.
Here's what I'll say. To me, the course, music on the course thing is the perfect quantification.
Okay.
Is that a word?
No, but I know what you mean.
Give me the word.
I don't
personification?
Know. Maybe? Why don't you finish the sentence and we can fill in this word later on.
Okay. It's the perfect quantification of why golf has problems. Because I got so many people type me like Borny was all over me. Oh, bananas all over me. Even the O-Dog. I know, I'm not supposed to say that name on air, but he came after me.
I don't know who that is. Never heard of him.
And to me, the problem is that it's just, I have to have complete and utter silence to be able to stand over this ball and make contact. You're walking outside on a gorgeous day, hanging out with your friends. If everybody's in agreement... Put some music on. What's the big deal? I'm not going to... If I go to a foursome, I played yesterday at Centennial with Allie. I asked the other two people, I'm like, do you mind if there's music? They said, oh, we'd love some music. Great. If I had asked them and they said no, I wouldn't put it on. It's a group decision. If people are okay with it, I'll do it. If people aren't okay with it, I won't do it. I just don't understand this, like, hard stance against it. It's like, oh my God, you're unpure. You're a muggle. Like, from Harry Potter. Like, you're just, it's just like, you're not a pure-blood golfer if you like music. I don't know. I just think people take it way too seriously.
Oh, that's how, me calling you not pure-blood sounds like our live argument yesterday on our...
Yeah,
our That's what that sounds like. You don't even love the game. Here's what I'd say about it, is I do understand the Shane Ryan aspect of it all of, why do we need it? We're out here. We're having a chat. Birds are chirping. I am wholly... I've been trying to figure out the right word. You couldn't figure out... I think the word we were looking for was personification. I think you got
yes,
it with the second time.
Yeah, I did.
That
yes.
is definitely the one. I'm trying to figure out the right word of this because I'm not... I'm like agnostic. What's the word for religion when it's like, I don't know, you do you, I don't care. That's kind of where I'm at on music. I have never had a problem. Well, okay, I will say this. My buddy Chris plays like the most aggressive music when we're out on the golf course, and it's hilarious to me, but it is always, every time I'm back around the cart and I'm like, what is happening here? This is wild. You have a great playlist going. It's very serene, very peaceful. You're muted, by the way, so I'm not hearing anything you're saying
to
me right
God.
Now. but here's what I'd say, is that I have no problem with it at all. I truly don't. It does not bother me. I would never in a million years have a speaker on my bag and play music. It's just it's just not something I need to add to the experience. I don't think it detracts from it. Unless my buddy Chris has the playlist. And then, again, it's just like, I can laugh because it's my buddy, but it is wild. But for the most part of it, I don't have a problem with it, but I would never bust it out. When I'm at the range or I'm practicing chipping or stuff, I love having music in. But I'm not talking with my friends and I'm not hanging out in nature. I'm grinding in the lab. So that's where I'm at on it. But I it's a bad take for a guy who does sports radio to be like, eh, I don't care. You do you. But honestly, that's where I'm at on it. And I think the last thing I'd say is about the pushback you get is, if they're telling you you can't ever play music, then that is a problem. But if they're telling you, don't bring your music around me if we're ever together, I don't think that's a problem. Is that fair?
Yes, fair. I think that's fair. And I want, like, listen, next time I play with Borny, not going to bring the speaker because I don't want to offend Mr. Fancy Pants there that, you know, he's like driving to the course in his Rolls Royce because he can't listen to a tune while he's playing. I just, listen, I understand the flip side of it. And I used to be fully against it. Like, I really was. I was like, the Yahoo's pulled up listening to music. But I think it's really been a generational switch here. Like, I do think that this has changed maybe even in the last 4 or 5 years. I feel like it's become far more prevalent. Listen, the carts at TPC Toronto have speakers in them. You can Bluetooth onto the cart with your phone and play music. Speakers aren't great, but the fact that you can do that shows. We were talking with a friend. A source says that it's big at St. George's. Music on the course.
I have heard this, yes.
If it can be okay at the beautiful course that held our national open, how can anybody say that it's not okay? I just find the people that hate on music, that's the reason that golf seems still inaccessible, because you got your nose turned up. It personifies golf culture. That's what it comes down to.
Here's my issue with it, and I guess I'm taking issue with both parties here. The thing I have loved about the way golf has changed, and it's not quite as direct a line as the pandemic, but I do think the pandemic was kind of a tipping point when you had a lot of new people coming into golf, or people who used to play saying, well, I got to do something. I got to go outside and figure out a way to spend my days here. Had more people coming into it. The thing I truly love about golf is that it can be whatever you want it to be. We've all gone and played at dog tracks with our buddies, and you know, there's barely a strip of grass out there to be found, and that's fine because you're having fun hacking it up. We have been out there at St. George's in the beautiful pristine. We have been on buddies trips where guys are shotgunning beers that the cart person has just given them. We've done all of those things. We have played the round at 6:30 in the morning. My whole thing is that golf, honestly, and I do love the evolution that it's taken, can be whatever you need it to be. So I would say people who are telling you can't play music, they shouldn't be doing that. But I think that you telling people, oh, you can't have it your way either. Like, that's all. I just love the fact that golf has developed to a point. It has to do with the hoodies. It has to do with the things you're allowed to wear now. And I think that it has splintered in a way that it's not the stoic golf that we thought of when we were kids. But I think that you got to give people space to still have that if that's what golf is to them.
Virtual handshake?
Virtual handshake. There we go. That was a little better.
I think that was a great
chat.
No, there's no virtual hand. You notice we haven't got to it? It's just like we can't. It's the elephant in the room. It's like, you know, an old married couple that aren't talking about how Paul hasn't dug out the garden in a week. So I want to get to the – I want to hit the break here so we can get to Christine. But I quickly just want to mention, you know, we mentioned playing at a really pristine course in Black Bear Ridge. I went out to Centennial yesterday with Allie, Centennial in the west end of Toronto. Mm-hmm. If you are a beginner, if you are someone who's not necessarily confident in your game and you're kind of afraid of the golf culture that we were sort of talking about and feeling rushed and having this sort of, you know, that feeling that kind of rookie golfers have, if you you got to go to Centennial. Centennial is the most welcoming. Like, I went to the golf, like, we were walking past the range on the way out, and Allie said to me, she's like, have you ever seen a more multicultural golf range than that one right there? And it's just people of all ages, all races, all sizes, just out there grinding on the range, having a blast, beautiful day. So if you really are feeling not necessarily confident, or you want to just enjoy yourself, and you don't want to think about that, like, the scary golf culture, and you're worried about playing too slow, and you're not good enough, Centennial in the west end of the city is the spot to go, because it's just really, really welcoming. I can't say enough good things about it. Great price. It's in great shape. It's an awesome spot to play.
Hear, hear. I love it. I used to work a ton of shifts when I first started at the Fan. I'd be done at one every day. I would go pound a bucket of balls, work on their practice area, and then go play nine holes. I often could get out there by myself in the dead of the day, but whenever I get paired up with someone, always a great grouping out there. So I echo that. And I know all you get on me for calling Lakeview a Muni. There's your Muni, and we love it, okay?
And the group in front of us, three of the four guys weren't wearing sleeves. So that's how we're – it was a Friday night. The boys had the music going. They weren't wearing sleeves. That's the type of golf you love. All right, we should break.
There you go. Sam McKee, Brent Gunning, Golf Show. Christine Frazier joining us next. A lot to get into. Golf course architecture. She knows a lot more than us because, well, it's kind of impossible not to. She'll join us next year on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome back, Golf Show. Brent Gunning, Sam McKee here. As always, the Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. Very, very pleased to welcome in our guest today. Big, big news in the Canadian golf community, in the golf community in general. Golf course architect Christine Frazier joins us this morning. Christine, thank you so much for taking the time. How are you doing this morning?
Hi. Yeah, good. How are you doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well. You know, we were joking off the top of the show that there are many things we want to talk to you about, but we were hoping you could provide our listeners a little more insight, because when we're talking about golf holes, we often use terms like good look and cool features, but I think you can provide just a touch more insight. So we're pretty excited to bring you on. I want to talk to you about your general philosophy, but first I have to talk to you about the big news coming out of the Toronto Hunt Club. What does it mean to you to be tapped to lead a project at such a prestigious site in the city?
I mean, we just made history. This is going to define the rest of my career. So it's a pretty substantial acquisition. I think, I always believed I could get something like this, but I wasn't sure that, the golf industry would reciprocate that feeling. So I'm so excited that the Hunt took this step with me, and they believe in me, and we're going to do something really cool.
Yeah, so I actually had a chance to play the Hunt Club this year. A friend of a friend is a member there, and I actually went in there and I played it, and I was blown away just in general by everything. You know, the course itself, the fact that it's only nine holes is very cool to me. The fact that, it's just a very, the whole setting is spectacular. I'm sure for you, and not only, making history aspect of it, but the fact that you get to sink your teeth into that sort of the bones of that place must be incredibly exciting for you.
It is so exciting. The place is very special. It is so unique in a lot of ways. It's very historic club itself, a lot of history and very important to Canadian golf. And that's the number one nine-hole golf course in Canada. So how do you get much better than that?
You can't. You honestly can't. In terms of the history making aspect of it, I saw you tweet it. Many people have done the same. If you see it, you can be it. What do you think it means that they've chosen to tap you, a woman to lead this project in obviously an industry that's still super male dominated?
The Hunt has proven itself to be really progressive, and they have a huge women's contingency of membership, and I think that they just wanted their voices to be heard, and they wanted to make sure that they felt valued as much as any other member at the club. And so I think my appointment reflects that and reflects their values. And it's certainly something that I align with as well.
So I'm sure that there's a million great things that you do for a golf course, but I'm sure one of the huge attractions for you is just that, right, Christine? That, there's like there's a million guys in the world that design golf courses. Like we were talking about, it's a very male dominated thing.
Absolutely.
But to be able to have a woman come in, I'm sure you give a completely different perspective than a male architect would, and I'm sure that makes you incredibly attractive to a lot of different golf courses.
Yeah, that's it. Women have different experiences. We have different perspectives. We have different values. And to have someone to come in to do this job that really, really believes in the importance of equitable golf design is going to just elevate the hunt to that next level.
No, that's really, really well said. You know, to step away from the hunt a little bit, and not that we want to, because, hey, it's as good a piece of property to spend time talking about as any, but if you have kind of an overall philosophy of golf course design, I mean, you have a tremendous portfolio. You've worked on some incredible, incredible properties. If you have kind of an overarching theory of design or a feature you need to see in a golf course, what is it for you?
For me, golf is really a game, and it has to be fun. And I did a lot of my training and my studying in the UK under golf course architect Martin Hawtrey. And I think that's what Lynx Golf and Martin taught me, is that golf should be fun. Golf should be interesting. Golf should be varied. It should always keep you guessing. It doesn't necessarily have to be fair, but it has to be interesting. So I think that fun aspect for me is really, really important. And then also, as we see our climate evolve and change, the sustainability aspect and just preparing a golf course for the next 50 years is going to be really important in terms of strategic and feasibility elements of planning a business. So those two things are really important. And then I think what really differentiates me from other architects in the industry is that equitable design portion and just bringing a different perspective and considering how people navigate the golf course based on different skill levels and how women, the different requirements that women have when playing a golf course, everything from tee positions to where the bathrooms are positioned on the golf course, all of those things are really important.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Now, I got to ask you, because I'm just fascinated by your philosophy and just golf course architecture in general. So when you, like, for example, you're going out to play a course, Christine, and you pull up to a course, what are some, like, design red flags for you? Like, if you go to a course and you see something, like, what kind of turns, maybe not turn your nose up is the right idea, but maybe it makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. That's something that you don't like when it comes to a course design.
I think what really stands out to me is the condition of the forward tees, which traditionally in the past have been termed as the ladies' tees, which we don't really refer to them as that anymore, because they're great for seniors or juniors or someone recovering from an injury. Like, anyone can play these forward tees. So I generally tend to look at the quality and the care given to the forward tees, and that's a really good indication of how the club or the golf course values people who are playing the forward tees. So that's a good indicator for me of how much work is ahead of us.
No, it's actually interesting you bring that up, because there's a course, I live out in Burlington, and there's a course me and my co-host here have just started to play, and we really love it. It's called Burlington Springs, but thankfully for us, this doesn't impact us because we are not typically playing from the forward tees, but they have all these forward tees that are right behind a pond, or you immediately have to hit over water. And I'm thinking, I don't think the person from the forward tees needs that. You know, maybe your scratch handicap doesn't get freaked out by a pond 2 feet in front of them, but it's just something that, you're right, it can be an afterthought at times. And yeah, I mean, I have a young son. I'm wanting to get started in the game. He's a little too early to care about any tees right now, but I don't want him to have those barriers as well. So I think it's really interesting perspective you bring there. I do want to ask you about a project you have worked on, and I have to ask you about it because me and McKee have played it 1,000 times. Braybeck Golf Course, built on top of the old dump in Mississauga. Well, you want to talk about a cool, funky piece of property. I it's funny, I never think it suits my eye, and I always play my best rounds there. So I think my question is just to say thank you for designing that, Christine.
Well, no, I've just been helping out over the past couple of years with their forward tee program, actually. So that design is someone else's work, but they're really great. They're always kind of keeping their finger on the pulse and just improving little things as they go. And they also have some settlement issues, as you can imagine. So they're always picking away at small things over there.
Yeah, all I'll say about Braben, and you know this well probably, Christine, it's going to be a little windy up there.
If the wind's blowing, if
I'm going to play there, I'll go outside and see how windy it is at my place, and then I'll times that by 100, because if you're up there, sometimes it's so windy you can't drive the cart.
That's it. So some of our site visits were in February, and it's just an ice rink up there. It's just a tundra. It's brutal, yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. I love Braben. I don't know if I want to be standing up there in February. So that's dedication to the game. That's real love to the game. You know, something that's been a topic, and obviously this is more a topic at elite levels of competition, but I think, you know, I'll check myself, my own bias I just created said everybody wants to hit drives. All the idiots I know love to hit big drives, and distance is becoming more of a factor in the game, but we keep running into these problems with courses that were built 100 years ago that, you know, the approach shot should be from this place, but all of a sudden, you know, tee balls are ending up 50, 100 yards ahead of where that is. How do you think course architecture can kind of help deal with the massive jump in distance we've seen over the last, I mean, it's been going on for seemingly 20, 25 years now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that we have some tools to consider that. And basically what it comes down to is asking people to make a decision on the golf course. And how you do that is to implement risk-reward situations and strategic design and give people different routes to the green so that depending on the day, depending on the conditions, the wind, the firmness of the ground, that you're putting a small amount of doubt in the back of their mind about if they hit driver, is it going to be worth the risk? So strategic design does that. It's also really important to consider angles for these better players who hit it very far. So you want to make sure that they give them an opportunity to have a good angle into the green on their second or third shot on a par five. So strategically asking them to place their drive at a certain distance and a certain accuracy. So say the preferred angle into the green is from the right side of the fairway. So you really, it's a focus on accuracy and shot distance in terms of best angle into the green rather than just brute force.
So I love that, and that's a great answer. And I guess this is kind of ties into that. So what makes a perfect golf hole to you, Christine? Like what are the factors that makes a perfect hole for you? Is it the risk reward? What is it?
I guess that's why I find this job so interesting, because that means something different to every single golfer that steps on the first tee. And so that's the kind of process that I really enjoy trying to discover. And that happens through conversations and meetings with members and playing golf courses with different people of different skill sets. So to me, I mean, it means something different to me than it does to you and to a 20 handicap and to a senior men player. So that's I think, is what the most interesting part of golf course design is.
Yeah, that is what makes the game beautiful, is how subjective it is. And, you know, that, you know, you look at course rankings and they're all different for all different people. And, you know, like Score Golf does the top 100 and they bring in all the different people. So the subjectivity, but then to sort of quantify the subjectivity is something that I'm sure is hard to when you're designing a course, because you're never going to please everyone, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And if you're saying what's the perfect length of a par five, you know, it doesn't exist. It depends on your skill and it depends on why you're playing golf that day. And it depends on who you're playing golf with. So ideally a par five at 400 yards for someone playing the forward tees is great. It's a really challenging, interesting, fun hole to play, but that wouldn't apply to someone playing the back tees. So yeah, the subjectivity is what makes it exciting.
Yeah, and you just mentioned par five. The par five at the Hunt Club is one of the best par fives I've ever played in my life. So
there you go. Okay,
don't do too much to that. I love that. That hole is unbelievable. So, anyways.
Well, Christine, I just wanted to kind of give you, it's funny, we were talking about not course design, but we were talking actually about music on the golf course in the first block of the show. And I think to your point about what you're talking about course design and the perfect round of golf is different and a perfect golf hole is different for everyone else. The thing I have loved about as the game has kind of evolved, and to me, it is really kind of hit warp speed over the last 4 or 5 years, but you're obviously a little more plugged in. I just love how golf has kind of gotten out of its stuffiness. And look, there are still places where it's stuffy and that's fine and we love it, but the game of golf can be something different to every single person. And one foursome can enjoy it one way and a twosome can enjoy it another. And people playing by themselves enjoy it different. And nine holes and 18s and maybe people go play 36 in a day. And I just love how the game is truly kind of carving out space for everybody to kind of enjoy it the way they want. And not to say that we're done. We always got work to do, but that's been maybe a really interesting evolution to me over the past handful of years.
Yeah, I've enjoyed seeing that as well, this kind of idea of coming as you are and golf being a place where you can feel safe and comfortable and vulnerable no matter your age, gender, orientation. And golf can be this place where we can express ourselves through fashion and music and ideas. And that evolution that we are seeing now is really exciting for me, and it feels very optimistic.
Yeah, the fashion aspect, we all think we're going out there looking like professionals, but maybe sometime, you know. I love the fashion aspect of golf. It's something that I like to take pride in and think I'm good at, but maybe you'd tell me differently. And I just want to say a wholehearted congratulations on an incredible, life-changing, you know, appointment at the Hunt Club,
yeah.
Christine. Very, 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 very exciting. I can't wait to see what you do there.
Thank you so much. I'm ecstatic.
And I'm gonna bury my co-host to you. He definitely has terrible fashion sense because he wants sleeveless men's golf shirts. That's his thing.
Oh,
that's what he wants
yep.
to see. So I don't know. You take it or leave it. I'm leaving it. But if he wants to take it, hey, it's his game. He can do what he wants with it. Christine, I echo everything my co-host said. Congratulations, the Hunt Club. Congratulations to you because clearly you picked a good one. Christine, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Appreciate
really,
it.
Really, really enjoyed the chat.
Have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.
There she goes, Christine Frazier, golf course architect. That was awesome. Really, really enjoyed talking to her.
My shamelessness is kicking in. I got to tee it with her.
You know who is skating along those coattails of your shamelessness.
Talking to her for 20 minutes wasn't enough. You know, there's just so much there. Like, there's so many different questions that, like, I'm always fascinated by golf design, and I'd love to go play a course with her and ask questions. Like, I just never, because like you said, whenever you go out and play, I'm always like, oh, I'm going to bury you now.
Yeah.
Oh, there's water. Click,
yeah.
Picture.
Click.
It's like, we are very simple beings, you and I, when it comes to a golf course. She is not a simple being. She is a brilliant mind, and I'm just like, I would love to be like, so why is this the way it is? Why is this the way it is? It's just, I loved that chat.
You were killing me when we were at Black Bear Ridge. I pulled out the picture I pulled out the phone. Oh, there's water. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's why they put it on the golf course for me to take a picture of it. That's the sole reason it exists. And whatever hole it is, I think it's 12 at Bray Bend there. I am probably taking 800,000.
No, it's not 12. It's 8.
No, it's 8. That's
no, 7.
Right.
7. Sorry.
We all know the one. It's over the water.
Yes.
Big creek. And I have probably taken, I've only played probably 50 rounds of golf there and somehow taken 80,000 pictures of that hole. That was an awesome chat. And look, hey, you know, to go back to early pandemic stuff, you and I, we had the opportunity to walk around some pretty nice pieces of property. And we got to do it with a guy who's just played some of those courses. I can only imagine the insight somebody like Christine would be able to provide us there. So, yeah, that would be here's a piece of advice that no one's able to follow up on. If you ever have a chance to play around in golf with a golf course architect, you should probably do it. It would be pretty interesting there.
I think I'm closer than a lot of people would be. I can be like, hey, you want to play? I mean, I'm sure Christine has nothing on her plate. She's got lots of time to play golf with old Schlubby, McKee, and Gunner. She's like, yeah, no problem.
You know when we're going to get out with her? She's like, hey, guys, it's February. Want to come walk the shores of Lake Ontario with me at the Hunt Club? Yeah, no thanks. I mean, yes, please. Actually, like, if that's invites available, I'll take you up on
yes.
it. I'll get the long underwear on. I'll throw a toque. I got base layers. Just back to our topic from earlier on in the show, music on the golf course. Love this from a nameless texter. I'm just going to double check they didn't. Oh, no. William from Georgina. I almost never bring music on the course. However, I do listen to the radio 590 on the AM dial. Absolutely love that. Here's the one thing I will say. If you're listening to the golf show, peaceful and great. If you're listening to us screaming at each other and really just me screaming at you about Liv, maybe not I don't think people want like Skip Bayless on the golf course. That's all I'll say. I don't know that they want Skip. Let me tell you something, but I love that you have us out there. I love it. Love it. Love it. So thank you, William and Georgina, for that.
So, I mean, if you're listening to Blair and Barker on the golf course, you can hear us making Barker references when we, you know, look for something mid-lane on the golf course.
That's right.
So, I love listening to the fan. I listen to the fan all the time. I listen to it in my car, and, like, I would regardless if I worked there. Like, it's just, it's on in my car. I get in the car, I got the fan on no matter what. But
don't
I will say, would you be able to, oh, yeah, there we go. Would you be able to concentrate, like with the dulcet tones of Jeff Blair and, you know, JD Bunkus on the show, while you're like trying to hit a golf shot. I feel like that'd be way more jarring than listening to music. No,
God, no, no, not a chance. Like, God love Blair and Barker and God love our buddy Bunk, but no, I could not have him just like going off about Russell Wilson or something. And
get it ready, get the foot down early. It's coming.
Yes. Well, I will say if we all had a piece of Kevin Barker advice right as we stepped to the tee on a par five, we'd all play it better.
Get it singing.
It's what you call winning.
Yeah, exactly. If we heard that right, just like the pitchers in baseball, they have that like pitch thing now, the commanding.
Oh,
we just had that.
Yeah,
if we just had that and you could just blast me a get the foot down, then I do think every drive would be 350 right down the middle. I did want to. Oh, hang on, Kevin. Yeah, that's something else. And then here's the other part about it. How many good rounds of golf, or at least enjoyable rounds of golf, have been derailed by Leaf's frustration by me and then me not being able to play anymore because I'm so mad? So
many.
Yeah,
usually early season. Like, you know, late April, early May, it's usually a lot of griping. For the last 4 or 5 years, we've been playing early season rounds.
You called me out.
I remember and Rob Wong almost, like, legitimately got in a fight at Lakeview one time over the Leafs. So it's better to just to play, you know, past May 15th when the Leafs are out, and then you can just kind of enjoy your round.
Oh, yeah, maybe one day that won't be the case. Yeah, probably not, though. I mean, we are who we are here. Oh, man, what a fun show. Thank you so much to you, Sam McKee, for booking Christine Frazier. Thanks for Christine Frazier to joining us. The Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. Golf Show's back next week right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.